Regular guy radio.
I just don't care.
That must be
regular guy radio.
Well, like Brian, for example.
That little prick.
Came with those fools, Bobby O'Shea. Wrong.
But what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
I'm just a caveman. Your world frightens and confuses me.
Poop is raining from the ceilings. Poop.
What's it in your lip? It's so good!
Understand there will be no
foundation. That sucks, dude. I'm telling you, it's jobs. We gotta get jobs. Then we get the khakis. Then we get the chicks.
Hey there, everybody. Brian Shea with Regular Guy Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can find me at regularguyradio.com or on the blog at regularguycolumn.com. We're on episode 21. Really excited. Got a great show for you. Great interview later with my new most favorite band, Tullycraft. You can check out their new album, Every Scene Needs a Center, at magicmarkerrecords.com. And the band was very, very good to take some time out of their schedule to talk to me about the album and about what they do. But before that, we'll talk about a few things. If you have any thoughts, comments, suggestions, remember, you can email them to radio@regularguycolumn.com or leave them as a comment on the site. And if you have anybody you'd like to hear me interview for a future guest, come on in, send me a message, and let me know who you want to hear, because we've had some good ones. Charlie Todd from Improv Everywhere, Tim Quirk from Too Much Joy, now Tullycraft. Got a couple other things I'm working on. So hopefully, if there's somebody you'd like to see interviewed, someone with a good book, a good good album or something, send me some ideas. Either email them, remember, radio@regularguycolumn.com, or put them on the website. But some people I'd like to interview, but I'm not going to get to, probably. another one of my obsessions, along with Tullycraft lately. I don't know anybody else's has been sucked into this, but Kid Nation is without a doubt the best show on television right now. And I only say that just because it's gonna stop soon. I don't know, it doesn't say on Wikipedia or anything exactly how many episodes, but we're done 7. I think this is just for the first half of the season. So, but if you haven't been watching it, tune in. It's not as much car crash TV as you might think. You know, it got a lot of bad publicity in the beginning because there was one of the parents sued, and it was all this stuff for child labor. But if you watch it, there's really some good stories about the kids who were actually responsible kids, and the little shits, they like put them up for an example, and then the responsible kids, they show how they're doing, and that's what the way it should be. So I think, you know, as far as story manipulation, it's actually done in a positive way for a change by reality TV. And it was cool because I blogged about the show about a week ago, after two episodes ago, and one of the kids' dads left a comment. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, I know that the show does get a little bit of bad rap, but the ratings are going up. So Wednesday nights on CBS, check that out for Kid Nation. And to go to the opposite end of the spectrum, people doing good things, I found out some really disturbing news this week. There's going to be a second Harold and Kumar movie, and nobody told me about that. And that is really bad. No, not that. It's not bad that they're going to do a second movie, but it's bad that I didn't know about it, because people need to tell me these kinds of things, or else, you know, I don't understand. You know, I got to keep up on things. If people don't tell me, I'm not going to do a good job at it.
Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
You're supposed to tell me when a Harold and Kumar movie is coming out. Not only is it coming out, but they filmed it. It's done. The trailer's done. So you can check out, I blogged about it this week. And Neil Patrick Harris, I have a picture of some of the promo posters, and it's "What would NPH do?" So Neil Patrick Harris will be back in it, and that is good news, because you know, I don't know how good the first movie would have been without him. I think throwing him in there took it from a decent stupid stoner movie into something that was legend. Way for it. Derry. Yes. Barney. It really kind of gave it a twist. I think that a lot of people who might have been a little bit out of that stoner genre, because we didn't see it when we were when it was in theaters. We either rented it or caught it on cable. But then you get Neil Patrick Harris, and this is How I Met Your Mother, but you remember him as Doogie Howser, and he's looking for poontang and strippers and all that stuff, and it just kind of gave it that little comedy edge that I think needed it. So looking forward to the second Harold and Kumar movie. It's coming out in April. And finally, a couple weeks ago, I got a chance to go see Superbad because of just, excuse me, timing and life and having a kid and all that crap. Yeah, all that crap. My wife and I didn't get to see it, but we got a weekend. We had got a night alone, and we went out to see Superbad, and it's very, very good movie. I don't quite think it's really up there with Knocked Up or 40-Year-Old Virgin or Old School. Some of the, as the R-rated movies start to make a great comeback. It's not quite up there, but it's definitely holds its own. A couple times I thought, well, they made American Pie again, but it had a couple twists. It was really cool to see that the cops that Bill Hader and Seth Rogen played had a more, I thought from the trailers I saw, I kind of got the feeling that they were really just bit parts in the movie. It was just kind of like the whole thing where the kid McLovin Fogel got beat up while he was trying to use his fake ID, and they came in, and then that was it. But it was really cool to see. I like how they integrated them into the plot, and the cops trying to make the kids like them. So Judd Apatow. Well, Seth Rogen was the writer, actually. That's right. They really get these kind of cool messages in there while they're talking about farting and getting high and getting drunk. So it was a good. It's a good movie. Go check it out. It's been in the theater for a couple months, so it'll probably be on DVD like in a week or two, but maybe by Christmas. So Superbad definitely is worth the effort. But while I'm over the Harold and Kumar and Superbad was a while ago, now a lot of the attention is on Tully Craft's new album, Every Scene Needs a Center. Talked about it in the opening, and then here we're going to listen to an interview I did with the band. You can go find the album on Magic Marker Records at magicmarker.com. I think it's magicmarker.com. The band's website is tullycraftnation.com, and I urge you to go check it out. And we talk about it in the interview because what they do is they have a MP3 of the day almost every day. Magic Marker Records is the site of the record company, so you can get the CD there. It's only $10, or you can download it. But anyway, the Tully Craft website has an MP3 of the day, so check it out. I have it in my RSS reader, so it pops up, and it's bands they like, or cool songs, or once in a while, they have Tully Craft Tuesdays, where maybe they'll add a live track from them, or someone covering something there. So they're based out of Seattle, and you'll hear more about them here in a minute. Tonight's guests released their fifth album this week. Every Scene Needs a Center is available on Magic Marker Records. So, Tully Craft, welcome to Regular Guy Radio.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having us.
We'll tell the listeners that this has been a little bit of an issue. I had a little struggle. It was last week getting things working, but I'm really glad everybody can join us because the new album's coming out, and I think everybody should be excited about that.
Yes,
we agree.
We're excited about it.
So I'm going to tell my little Tullycraft story first. I had never heard you guys until about a little more than a year ago. And I was coming home from a friend's wedding, and he and his wife had given away a mix CD. And about halfway through it, Secretly Minnesotan came on. And I think I played it about five times straight. It was just, the sun was out, I had my sunroof open, and I just could not stop bouncing in my seat. And I wonder, is that the point? Is that what you guys are trying to get us to drive unsafely in the middle of fall? Is that what you're trying to get everybody to do?
Bounce while you drive kind of music.
That one is a bit of a rocker like that, isn't it?
Yeah. I used to describe it as dance music. I thought we did dance music. that gave people the wrong impression.
Yeah, well, it was very fun but unsafe dancing, I think. And, then I started looking around, and it just seemed every song I came across was like that. So just tell me a little bit about, you know, how you guys developed this. So many musicians take themselves way too seriously, but you guys, it's all about the fun. So tell me a little bit how
I was getting angry for a second. No, it is about the fun. I mean, we have a really good time making the music, and I think when we record, we try to get it across, but when we play live, it's like we kind of can't contain it sometimes. You know, we have sort of a sloppy presence live because we're just more joyous than we are technically perfect.
That's true.
And now tell me a little bit, did you guys... I guess you started out playing more live, so that's kind of the reason why it's that way, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's partially due... I'm the drummer, by the way.
Here you go.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I think it's partially due to the fact that, at least when Sean and I first started playing together, the bass player, we started playing before we knew how to play our instruments. And so we've only got, like, three different ways we can play, really. And we didn't really want to bore ourselves, I don't think, too much. And so it's kind of got to be fast and poppy and bouncy. Otherwise, we're going to screw up too much.
If we slowed down, you'd be able to tell that we don't actually know what we're doing.
That's a good point.
Come on. Wait. I know that sometimes we play some of those. We're able to play. It's hilarious when in practice sometimes we tackle a song that's like a fast song. And we just kind of categorize them as, oh, fast song, medium fast song, really same song as the other song. We should, not do that one right now. But we play them sometimes at half speed, country versions, ukulele based. I mean, we have played the songs in all kinds of formats for ourselves to entertain ourselves.
Just but those are our three speeds.
I think we just did it right there. The building fast one, the fast one.
So Sean and Jeff, you started this what about? It's been about 10, 12 years now.
About 10 years ago.
And
Chris didn't follow. Sure. Chris is actually, for those people keeping track, Chris has actually done some guest vocals on the very first Tullycraft album. So he was there almost from the get-go, and then he's there on the second album.
Well, wasn't Tullycraft's first show opening for IFOJ?
The first
one in Seattle, yeah. The first show that Tullycraft played in Seattle was with my old band, Incredible Force of Junior, because we knew a guy that booked at a club, and Tullycraft didn't know a guy that booked at a club in Seattle at the time. That was a real dividing line. But they had the hookup up in Bellingham, Washington, so
we got them a show there.
They were the kings of that scene.
We traded.
Yeah, we swapped that up so we could play together.
So how does a band stay together for 10, 12 years like this? You know, it's changed a lot, and you guys have put out, just the fifth record. With how volatile music can be, you hear bands changing all the time. How does it stay together in this kind of core for so long?
I think because the Nishan, by the way, I'm just speaking from my point of view. I think because we're all just outside of this, we're actually pretty close friends, and we do things socially. And when we do things socially, like barbecues and trips to wherever,
killing sprees,
we don't actually talk about the band. The band is sort of it's a separate. It's our hobby.
We're first. I think you can tell by listening.
And so it's not like when we're having a barbecue or we're having or away on some trip somewhere that's separate from the band. It's not the band is first and foremost. The band is sort of a side project to our regular friendship in our lives.
But when I describe, because at some point someone who I'm like, I have a job and someone will find out, oh, you're in a band, and I say, yeah, I'm in a band with friends of mine, and it's a band with friends of ours. It's a band, but it's a band with friends of ours.
So with that kind of dynamic, how exciting is a new album coming out then, when it's, to some people it seems like something you just do for fun, but this is your fifth album?
It's exciting. It takes us a while to record, or to actually get together and get the gumption up to make a record. So I think it is exciting, and I think it's a little different. I hope people like the new record. I'm a little apprehensive about it, because we mix it up a little bit on this record, and I hope people are open to it. I think if they listen to it, more than once, that they'll like it. I think if they listen to it once, they'll go, God, that's different than what I expected, and I don't like that.
I told them it was dance music.
No. Yeah, that is not I'm afraid of people's initial reaction might be like, huh, that's interesting. I'm not what I expected and not my thing, but I think if they listen to it, they'll really like it.
Well, I definitely think we're an acquired taste.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. At least from what I read. I don't think they think Telegraph sounds like this band or Telegraph sounds like that, but they don't think Telegraph sounds like Radiohead or Telegraph sounds like, more so Telegraph sounds like they made another Telegraph record.
I think it would be hard to kind of compare you guys to somebody, and that's good because it's something new and different. For somebody like me who hadn't heard it for the time you've been out, and then all of a sudden I'm on iTunes going, I got to get some of this stuff and download as many of these songs as I can.
And that's what's good. That's actually what's helped us maintain for so many years, is that if we actually ever got really popular and big and, made it to 120 minutes, or I don't know what that show is. whatever MTV's doing now. Whatever they're doing. Whatever the kids are into these days on MTV, then I think there would be a quick burn and we would burn out and people would be like, oh yeah, that band, they had that one hit and we'd be forgotten outside of that one hit for whatever we had. But the fact that people can still kind of discover us like you discovered us, somebody will discover us on this new record and be like, oh, I didn't know that band. Wow, they have other
songs. They have five albums? Oh my God.
They have five albums. They have, so that's the thing about kind of staying under the radar and never actually becoming popular or famous.
We're poor, but we're maintaining the credibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So playing shows to half a dozen people sometimes pays off.
So you said that the new album mixes things up, but listening to the first song that I heard, Punks Are Writing Love Songs, it still sounds like Tullycraft.
That was a deliberate first single. We didn't want to frighten people.
The rest is all screeching and phoning.
Blood curdling.
There's some definite like vintage Tullycraft on there, and then there's some stuff where you're gonna go, wow, huh?
What are they trying to do?
Yeah, what are they doing? But I think that it's for the most part successful. Yes, no, yeah. I think we're all really happy with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're still friends.
Barely.
Honestly, though, there's something to, wow, we made an album, and we're still friends.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's like those...
We're not sure which one is the greater accomplishment.
It's like the couple that gets through a wedding ceremony or something without killing each other. Wow, it's like they're still together.
Yeah.
But making an album is a hard thing. I mean, even for Tullycraft, even though we're friends and it's easy and it's fun and it's got three chords and a tambourine, that shouldn't be too much trouble. There's so many... In any one song, there's so many decisions and moves that are made, even something as simple as Tullycraft, that it's amazing that we can all manage to make them and not step on each other's feelings or stuff.
I want to know more about this difficult wedding you had.
Yeah, well,
like, being in a band is difficult. Like, honestly, this is going to come off as weird, but Jeff Fellis, Jeff the drummer here, is like the longest relationship I've had in my life. He's honestly like my wife. Like, Jeff has seen girlfriends come and go with me, and he's always been there. So, it's true. You guys know.
They're holding hands right now. Looking into each other's eyes.
Yeah, it's been talking to Jeff about our ups and downs. He doesn't always like me,
He doesn't always like me.
So,
this is dreamy.
All of us have our problems. It's hard, especially when tight quarters in a van or on a plane or in a hotel room. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
The recording studio.
We're all so passionate about our creative, voices that we want to achieve our goals, and it's a lot of collaboration and argument and sorting through things.
I was gonna say, being friends, I guess then that kind of development is a little easier because you're not gonna call somebody a dick because you still want to be friends with them, even though you might not agree.
We're going to go a lot further than that.
I think it might actually work.
Yeah, but see, like you said, we've got like a roadmap on each other. Like we've been friends for years and years and years, and so like we can navigate this shit a little bit. Can I say?
Oh sure, go say anything.
You want this to be suitable for children?
No.
my mouth.
Even though my 7-year-old loves the mix CD I have in the car, but I have to skip every time Twee comes on because I don't. She's heard the first verse, and then I'm like, "That's it. You're not going around the playground, knowing being known as the fucking young beacon."
I hear that.
But that was what was one of the really cool things when she started telling me to repeat a song or go back to that bikini song or whatever. I was like, "Now this is cool because not only am I showing her good taste, but she's recognizing it as soon as it comes on."
Yeah, we've got a lot of children fans.
We've had a few parents. We've had parents bring kids to like a few all ages things we've done. It's a little bit scary, and I feel like I didn't know we were making.
We always think we're going to find that new youngest Telegraph fan. It's like all ages shows sometimes, and inevitably they'll be really. I'm not sure what the limit is, but they seem to be. If they can get in the club and stand there.
What are your plans for touring once the record's out, and where can people find this magical live show?
Well, we've talked a bit about this. Our personal lives and our work lives are a bit hectic and busy, so it's tough because we're dealing with five people with some serious. Like personal home lives, and we have to be respectful of that. So it's not the easiest thing for us to pile in the van and play College Towns the way that we once did. So we talked about it. We kind of the options are kind of open to us as to kind of what we want to do. Like what we're, the time we're able to give, and then with that time, what do we want to do with it? So we discussed it. Occasionally we play these big colleges that kind of can afford to. Colleges or festivals or whatever, they can kind of afford us to fly us out and put us up for a night or two. So that we'll continue to do that, I would imagine, because that works within our work schedules in our personal lives, because we can do that over the weekend. But outside of like that, our touring and the what are we talking about?
We say that now, but
we'll see.
If someone were to say we're taking you on tour for 6 months, thank you.
Yeah.
Just put it out there.
Yeah.
They're looking for
the call.
We both have new albums coming out. We both need to tour. Radiohead, give us a call. We'll warm
I'm
up
not sure
for
the
it.
Audience would like our
they will, we'll warm up and they'll just take them down. It's going to be great.
We
talked about putting together a tour, and we will continue to play things that seem encouraging to us that we get something out of. I mean, which isn't to say that we wouldn't get something out of driving down through California and playing a dozen house shows and like sorority parties or something. Put that on. because we really would enjoy that, but it's not in the cards to get all five of us to work our schedules around doing that. And so we really just want to do shows and tours that kind of pop into our heads if something turned up and we're like, wow, that would be really fun to play that thing in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. I mean,
Nova Scotia could give us a call. then we just might do that. You know, if for some reason it fits into the schedule and it's a whim and we all look at each other and say, that's going to be awesome to go after we played in Beloit, Wisconsin.
And we don't want to actually go after tours so much. Things fall in our laps. Like, we get offers, and Beloit, Wisconsin offered us a crap load of money to fly to their little town.
We went, and it was great. And we almost got snowed in Beloit, and we played Beloit, and we played Chicago. We played with Apples and Stereo, so we knew those guys, and that was fun, and then went out and played this little college and with all these punk and emo bands, and that was actually almost even more fun. And so, I mean, we kind of take what seems like it's going to be some kind of rollicking adventure, you know?
I guess to me that kind of seems... It's even more appealing, the fact that you have to do all this music stuff and this touring around your regular lives. To me, that's like, well, that's better than some band who's doesn't understand what's going on anywhere really. And musically and what you're going to give on the stage, to me, that's I'm really going to be interested in something like that.
Yeah, we don't have our sights set too far beyond the next show ever. You know, we're just working at, like, we want to make that amazing, and we don't have these like lofty goals we've got our real lives to focus on. So,
and the nice thing is that if we do what we're going to do, then we're going to have them doing it. You know, so each of those shows is going to be way more better.
You just said we're better.
Totally, you're cut off.
You're cut off. Way more better.
Way more better.
No more cowboys, dude.
God. Yeah, that's gonna be a lot more fun, and the show's gonna be of a higher quality than if we were to play, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, and you know,
it's kind of when you do a tour, you string together dates.
Right.
Like, we need somewhere between Albuquerque and Houston.
And we've done that.
And you look at that and find a town. And, I mean, kids might show up. Some kid there might be a huge fan. It might be a great show. It might not be a great show, but it's hard to string together enthusiasm for us sometimes. And I don't mean to, you know, I know that, I'm sure that artists like Mariah Carey, they have their excited every minute of every stage of every show that they've ever done. That's almost true with us, too. We really haven't played shows where we weren't psyched about it once we're there.
We're,
so I don't know. I mean, I wish we could have a version of us that goes out and plays all these shows so we could stay and have our lives, but Tullycraft is managing to go around and tour the country as well. So maybe we'll do some kind of a...
Cloning,
or what's that thing, a franchise?
Yeah.
we'll get anyone under, let's say, 17 years old to act out the roles of Tullycraft members.
There's only four chords to learn.
I remember reading somewhere that now there's a law in Nevada that says, you know, they had all these bands that were pretending to be other bands, and they were really just playing that band's music. So in order to say, you're, you know, the Supremes, one of them has to be on stage. So if you guys just rotated and one of you went out with four other people and you kept switching,
that's perfect.
Then you say we're Tullycraft, but you know Jenny's out on the road now, and everybody else is relaxing, taking care of life.
And yeah, only legal in Nevada, though.
Yeah, that's true. Like a lot of things. One other thing I wanted to talk about was your website, which I just absolutely love, because you're going to get something pretty much every day. And now tell me, whose idea was that? Where did this whole MP3 of the day come from?
MP3 of the day was Sean's idea, and he's the soldier that keeps that.
Seriously.
I can't take credit. Corey's idea was, Corey designed the website, by the way. He designed the website, and it was his idea to kind of keep it going, keep it alive.
I had a group blog idea. I was thinking about how much we all crack each other up and how much fun we have every time we're around each other, and I was like, damn, we're hilarious. Like, we should share that with the world. So
people listening to this podcast are finding out. I think they
press stop on
it. Yeah. I think there's got to be better podcasts out there.
Yeah. You'll fix this in post, right? So I was like, I set up this group blog, and I primed us all for it. Like, we're all gonna get active and keep our site alive and create a reason to check back, you know?
Uh-huh.
I was hesitant about it.
Yeah, Sean,
and he's taking on. I'm with it.
I really campaigned Sean real hard to get on board with it, and we all finally agreed to do it. I set it up. And now Sean's the only one who's committed to it.
He did such a good job, seriously.
I think about posting sometimes, but then I read his, and his are so good.
But the fact that you could get a new song every day, that's entirely
that's
Sean's
amazing.
Idea, and that's his project that he's done a great job with.
But eventually, run out of songs. There's not that many songs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there might be 365 songs, but next year he's going to run out of songs.
I just like to keep the website active, and, you know, you can't. There's only so much you can talk about your own band, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all big music fans, so why not just, you know, talk about other bands?
I check it every day.
Yeah.
When we first started, Chris had a column on our website.
You've got to bring that back!
Called Chris's Kitten Corner.
Why?
And he posted his favorite kitten photos.
Yeah.
Or goats.
Yeah.
Chief.
Well, he gets goats and kittens confused.
I've got some rabbits. They're so cute. They're waiting to go out there. It's going to make you guys tear up when you see them.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Seriously. Post them.
I will. Well, hang on. That's my agent.
Well, we're glad you like what we've done with it. That's
yeah. The recent one that I loved was the Our Lips Are Sealed. I knew a little bit of the story, but the whole intro with Jane Wiedlin was, you know, about how she's Terry Hall and her are pissed off at each other. That was very funny because that kind of the Go-Go's were the first concert I ever saw. So to me, that was very cool to hear her talking about that.
Yeah, that was good because that whole history of how that song went, the two versions and everything.
Okay, well, that about wraps it up. I really appreciate you guys taking some time out. I wish you had had some fun. I'm sorry that you didn't enjoy yourselves at all here.
What a bummer.
But we'll make sure everybody can go out and get Every Scene Has a Center from Magic Market Records. Now, is it available on their site, or do they need to go to iTunes and any other downloading service?
It'll be available... Both.
Yeah, you can download it on iTunes, or you can mail order if you fancy, you know, tangible items in your hands.
The reason Corey's pushing for that is because he does the artwork for the CD. Yeah. So if he really wants you to get it, open it up and check out all the illustrations inside, which are awesome. Just as in the last album that he did the artwork, it was awesome. So, you know, buy iTunes if you have to, but it is kind of worth an actual physical.
There's going to be a vinyl version of it that comes out in Europe.
So for the 12 of you that still play records and buy records.
12 of you that still play records.
Go get it.
It'll probably be an import here, but there is a vinyl version that is going to be available.
It's available in pretty much every form of, except 8-track then, I guess.
No cassette.
Yeah, no cassette.
Okay.
You
could make a
cassette.
Do a cassette.
I used to buy a cassette.
Me too.
I really did.
I totally had, like, all the Depeche Mode cassette.
What a valuable collection.
I still have some Smith singles. I have this to my hand, a cassette.
I am sure I have some REM cassette here somewhere in the house.
There should be a podcast series that you do where you make bands pull out their Kiss singles and talk about them.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I'll put that on the list to do. Okay, well, Tully Craft, thank you very much for joining me tonight.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
To a changing age of customers would stare. A mix of Tempest Storm and Halloween, a baby bat would flare. The lunch crowd said, go soft, when Georgette plays a goth. She's at the newsstand reading stock reports and fetish magazines. A waitress uniform in black and hood of dear catastrophe. Said go soft when Georgette plays a goth. She'd be the first to defend all those 80s trends. Shows her fangs at the bar singing Johnny Marr. A revolution ball and Nina Hagen outfit found its way.
I cannot thank Tully Craft enough. Jeff, Sean, Chris, Corey, and Jenny, they were just fantastic. I hope, I apologize if the audio was a little choppy here or there, the levels. They were on speakerphone, and, you know, at first it was a little weird, but the more I went through the interview, I thought this is what, the chemistry they have together, the fun they have together, to interview two or three of them at a time on landlines or whatever, doing it as a group was the best. You might not know whether it was Sean or Jeff talking. They did most of the talking or whoever. But, I think that why they are such a good band comes together when you hear them and you hear how much fun they have. And if you want to totally geek out like I have, go to YouTube. Search for Tully Craft. There's some videos of them recording. There is a great video for Georgette Plays a Goth, which was the song that led out from the interview. The song leading into the interview was Punks Are Writing Love Songs, which is the first single off the album. The album to me is incredibly infectious. And during the interview, I noticed that Jenny wasn't talking a whole lot. She was laughing a lot, but she wasn't talking a whole lot. And after listening to the album, I know why, because she did so much on that album. She did such an incredible job singing. She doesn't need to talk about it, I think. I don't know Jenny, so I don't have a crush on her, but I think I'd have a crush on her vocals. But, you know, her singing was just so amazing in this album. It really is an extra instrument, the way her harmonies come in, and I think it just takes that album to another level. It's got there's some really, really, really fun songs. There's some really interesting songs, and, you know, they were right. It does take a few listens on some of them, but I've had it on my CD player and on my computer at work constantly since I got it, and you won't regret spending the money. And one cool thing, one cool tip, if you're downloading, if you're not buying the hard copy, but buy the hard copy. I'm going to do that. I don't buy too many, physical CDs, but I'm going to buy Corey's art. I want to get, I want to hook them up with that connection where you get the art and the stuff with it. But the iTunes download is their iTunes Plus, so you can turn them into whatever format you want. You don't have to go through all the rigmarole if you're not an iPod owner like me. Like, I'm not an iPod owner, so I like that. I can transfer right to an MP3 and get it to my cheapo $40 Radio Shack MP3 player. So that's really cool. And but get the record, get the CD from them, and you know, I'm gonna look for that import too. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe get the some of the art up here on my walls down in the man cave. But you know, right now the songs I'm obsessing about are Punk's Writing Love Songs, Georgette, Neutron, I'm going blank on some of the other songs, and it's driving me nuts. The Neutron, I said that. Click at Night Vandals, that's another one. I always get it wrong when I'm singing along with it. That's another one of my really favorites. The Dracula Screams of Tiger Style, is parts 1 and 2, is really a fun song. It's very bipolar, I think is the best way for me to describe it. So it's a 7-minute Tullycraft song, which is about as fun as it sounds. So get that CD, download the songs. It's, you know, they really bring a lot of fun to your day. I was sitting there, someone was working on something with me in my office, and I just kept bopping along because there's the very beginning of the album with Punk's Writing Love Songs and Fangs on Bats and Georgette, and I was just, you know, bouncing along in my chair. So they're still promoting Unsafe Driving and Working. I'm going to have to talk with them about that because you know, I thought we cleared that in the interview. But once again, thank you guys. I hope you've listened this long. You know, we're more than half an hour into the podcast, way longer than I usually am. So I hope you enjoyed it. Send your thoughts, comments, suggestions, radio@regularguycolumn.com, or leave them on the blog. That's it for me. I'm going to be done. It's been way too much talking. Thanks to Tullycraft. Thanks to you for listening. Pass this link on. We'll be back in a couple weeks, hopefully right on time. I'm a couple days off again. Sorry for that. But 2 more weeks about with another good interview, this one in the movie genre. So I'll leave you hanging, probably announced on the blog a day or two before. Thanks for listening, and hope you tune in again in a couple more weeks.
I'm out.
That's what she said.
That's a little joke. Okay, comedy show's over. Bye-bye.